Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between. Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, indeed. My goodness, what a beautiful day. Yeah, I know it's gray. It's gray here in Zone 8. But it's a beautiful day because everything has, I don't have to water anything. Everything's growing. I made some decisions about my garden this week that I may or may not be happy about later. But then we make a lot of those, don't we? Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. The first thing I have to do today is say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Last weekend was a blast at the Watermelon Festival in Mize. We had a really good time, met so many lovely people, and frankly, had watermelon all week. Thank you very much. It was great. Wonderful t-shirts. Ran out of t-shirts, in fact. That's always a good thing when enough people come around that want to put our name on you. You know, that's very, very helpful. And you, Lance, you kept all of these plates in the air last week. Thank you.
Oh, it's never any trouble. It is an honor to get to do it. And I'm glad you had a fun time.
It was fun.
It was, anytime you get to go to that neck of the woods, my family is from down there, so mom and dad, and I just fond memories, and I love the watermelon patches and the
beautiful
people. The sun shines different once you get a little south of McGee. It gets a little bit more like, hey, things grow really good
really
down
fast.
Here. And it's just downhill to the beach from there.
Yeah,
you just
that's true, too.
Put it in neutral and just coast in. And,
so, he's
yeah,
got a
fond,
point,
fond memories.
He's got a point. Yeah. Well, when we left the fest and we're coming back in the northerly direction, we came out a different way than we had done the day before. And as a result, we drove along the road where there were, honestly, rolling fields of watermelons as far as you could see. And it was just a great joy. There were still plenty there to be harvested, still plenty to be eaten. And I think the season maybe lasts another couple of days, or we hope another week. We'd like it to be all the time, but then it wouldn't be quite as special, would it? Wonderful time, wonderful people. Appreciate Ben and Super Talk for bringing us down to the Watermelon Festival. Look forward to being there again. If all goes for us. So many crazy things going on in the world of science and gardening and green stuff. The main business of this program, of course, is always your phone calls and your texts. And they're already beginning today, I'm happy to say. Did you miss me? I get to read my own today instead of having to have you do that for me, Lance. Thank you.
Oh, it was fun. I like doing that. You know, you just you keep your eye on everything and you get to juggle. And you had some great guests.
They were delightful.
Wonderful people. And then I saw you had a great shot where there was this, like the ice cream truck was like right back in the back
yes.
corner. And I kept going, man, I think is that like subliminal today?
Well,
and I do think
they got some really good advertising out of us.
Yeah, I went and got a blizzard after that. So it was just drip campaign. You got me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had to
exactly.
get ice cream.
There's I have to tell you, the lovely ladies that bake that at the couple of different baking, you know, I'm always going to go because I can't bake, so I'm going to get the baking business. But cookies from Brandon and from the Mennonite community, some jalapeno cheese bread. There was just everything. It was a fun festival. Oh, that's really lovely. Absolutely beautiful. Bubba and Starfield sending one of my favorite shots. You know me, I like a little tree and a little lake. That's just gorgeous. You got a path down to the dock. That's beautiful. Really pretty. Thank you. RJ's got green mold growing, especially the first 20 feet behind the house, and we can't grow any vegetables near the house. What do I do to get rid of this mold problem? You know, I'm going to ask you, RJ, if that's shady enough to grow mold, you probably are not going to be able to grow vegetables there. It's unless you've got a half a day of good, strong sunlight, most of the vegetables that we like to grow are just not going to do what you want them to do. The mold itself is a different issue, of course. Two things affect the growth of mold. One is shade, and the other is the pH of the soil. So what I'm going to suggest is that you go to Garden Center or the co-op, get some horticultural lime, some dolomite lime, mix up a slurry of it. In other words, it doesn't need to be completely liquid, but you need to be able to get it onto that surface. Cover the mold up with that. Hope it doesn't rain for a couple of days because it'll wash it off. But that will change enough to see whether it's going to have any effect. After that, it becomes a matter of taking a soil test to see what you actually need to do in the long term. But if you have half a day of sun, you should be able to adjust the soil to be able to grow there.
And if it is raining and you can't go outside, you can always turn on dolomite and laugh
this
for
is true.
The afternoon.
This is true. Napoleon is one of the funnier things. My goodness. You go back into the archives of history in the movie world, and you find things you forgot or you never saw.
Oh, I would love them, man.
And,
hilarious.
My goodness. Sometimes it's, whew, fun stuff.
Yeah, and the story. You know, anytime you take the name of dolomite, you've kind of
have to go there.
You've got to, I mean, the guy's something about Rudy.
Yeah.
He was from Arkansas, mind you, originally, and didn't have a great childhood and said, I'm out. And took off and see what he did.
As the famous Mississippi legend B.B. King said, there must be something besides this.
Yeah,
he's driving a tractor.
I ain't doing this no more. I'm out.
A lot of people felt that way. A lot of people made a move because they wanted to change something. That is absolutely true. I'll tell you one of the things that I've changed this week, and that's my attitude about fall tomatoes. Okay. I know that's a weird transition, but it's an important one. This has been an incredibly bountiful tomato season in my backyard. But, it's wet. I'm starting to get a little blight. I was beginning to have some, literally the flowers would come on and they would just fall off because the conditions were too wet for them to even think about setting. And, of course, it was too warm as well. So I let them all go. And in advance of the bottle tree tour coming in through the neighborhood this fall, I'm replanting my tomato pots with flowers. There may be vegetables in them by that time, but right now, I'm just going to plant some flowers and enjoy the view and have it be a different look at things. You know, I have literally been growing tomatoes since I can remember my whole life, including in the backyard, in the garden, formal garden, in what they call edible landscapes, where you plant them where there's any sun, it just happens to be next to the peonies, that kind of place. And I've also grown tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, granted, but still tomatoes, in coffee cans on a fire escape in a major city on the West Coast. And I have to tell you, they are really fun. I'm glad I took up growing them. But I don't know if I would now. If I was starting a garden today, I would probably not be planning for tomatoes. I would be starting with herbs, and then I would be moving into the fall crops right now. For example, the things that I really do think, Chinese cabbage, and things that we can't necessarily buy as good as we can grow. Tomatoes, with our farmers markets and all of our friends who grow, we pretty much got that covered in tomato season. The rest of the time, they're not all that great. Greenhouse tomatoes are okay. I will use them. I will pickle some and, put them in salads and that sort of stuff. But the summer crop is really the best one. And I'm going to tell you that I'm probably not going to try the fall one. Somebody else should, though, because I'm going to want to go and buy some when it gets to be September, October. And if you have plants that are healthy, as I have always said, if your tomato plants look great today, keep them that way. And then as soon as the nighttime temperatures get below 70 in your area, you will be the first to have flowers and then fruit on your tomato plants. I think it's a good idea. Did you watch any of the Olympic opening ceremonies last night? What about you, Lance?
No, I did not. I was
you went to
sleep.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Well, that's okay because Hawk watched it. He enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I had done so much reporting on it during the week. I felt like I already had a pretty good idea of what was going to go on and covered. But now I did watch a couple of little pieces on Twitter and TikTok early, about 4:35 this morning, and it looked very colorful. And everybody was in their Sunday best and looked like they're going to have a big time.
It was quite a thing. It was very the biggest production that's ever been done, the most locations, the most all of those, you know, sorts of elements in it. And I have to say, putting the athletes on boats going down the sand was pretty crazy, but I think it worked. Not sure. It was pouring down rain. If they all have pneumonia by Tuesday, we'll know that it didn't work so well, but I think it worked. I got to tell you, though, my favorite part was the Minions. You know, they are animated in the French studio. And in case you didn't happen to know this, France has a tremendous long film history, all the way back to Lumiere and those kind of things. Anyway, research that on your own time. But the Minions were hilarious. And that tickled me that they were actually put them in. And I will admit, it sort of made me think of the Queen jumping out of the airplane, the previous one. But anyway, I thought that their humor, the humor of the whole thing was fun. They took you through French history, but they also gave you a few nods, a few tips of the cap to how marvelous and delightfully crazy their culture is. And I say that with all due respect. It is in fact that. So it's a fun thing. I have to say, though, that as popular as the Minions are, my current favorite, Inside Out 2, has now made more money than any of them. Nemo, all of the, it's just done that much better. If you have not seen that, any of the Inside Out stuff, it's about the emotions in the head of a girl. You go learn something. It's really, you'll see yourself, you'll see other people that you know. And the depictions of the animated emotions are really delightful. Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Trey in Grenada. Gardening with no chance of house cleaning. That's true. That's always true. And, ooh-wee, look at you. Did you save me the Lay's Zatarain's chips? Those look pretty good.
Those? Yeah.
I see that.
I saw those in the store the other
those
day.
Those look pretty good. Like, oh. I haven't seen those yet. I just saw them here from Trey, so that's fun. It's a really good time. Anyway, stuff that y'all are up to over here, I'm telling you. A couple of things that I was really fascinated by in the world of science this week, last couple of weeks actually. We're trying to understand more about the warming night temperatures. We've talked to you for quite a while now about the sightings of everything from bacteria to mammals, you know, that have moved into other places because their previous conditions were not so great. Talked about the beautiful lions that swim the predator-infested waters to get to the other side because that's where the food was in the new development of their ecology. This particular one from New York University, they're working on the way that the fish that live around a coral reef adapt to the bleaching and the changes that are in those environments that you all are well aware of. I think it's really interesting that it's changed a lot, and so the numbers of the fish have changed because they're not able to change what they eat. And that's really the next thing. They're watching for the next fish to be able to learn to eat something different because that's what will enable them to go through these changes without losing their numbers or without losing their species altogether. You can't teach fish what to eat. Come on. I mean, I'm sure I'll say that and somebody will immediately have a study where they've just done that and I'll have to look at myself and say, well, I certainly didn't know that. But it is interesting to think about the way things change. And when things do change, for example, I have a lot more bumblebees in my garden this year. And I was reading a piece the other day that told me that it has to do with the winds, the flow of winds, the amount of wind that is flowing in it different from one place to the other, and that the bumblebees are basically just hitching a ride. That's how we're getting so many more this year than last. I haven't seen the stats, but it's a good theory. I hope they'll work on it. I hope they'll prove it for us. I think that's interesting. Looking at supertalk.tv today, you will see one of my bumblebees. He doesn't have a name, but he sure did spend a lot of time in my phlox patch this week. They've always been on the Vitex in the front, and now we've got some in the back garden as well. They're enjoying themselves. The thing about bumblebees, of course, they're actually more effective pollinators than our little friends, the honeybees. They don't make honey. They store the nectar in the sacs. One of the reasons they're such big creatures, and kind of aerodynamically a little bit challenged is because they actually do have that pockets, and that they fill that up, and that's what they take back to their nest. That's what they feed their young. So it's a little bit different, but they do pollinate. One of the things that they're most efficient at in bringing it all back around to the tomato conversation, the greenhouse tomatoes, I've probably told you this before, greenhouse tomatoes were developed in the South. Thank you, Dr. Rick Snyder. Thank you, Dr. Hannah Hanna, who was someone that I went to school with. And he invented the tool that greenhouse growers use that's basically an automated flower duster. It has little tingly fingers on it that you walk through and move the pollen about. Okay, it works really, really well. And it does it without disturbing the plant or disturbing the flower. It just moves the pollen. You can do it by shaking, but when you've got 4,000 plants, you probably need a tool or two. So that's what this is for. In doing all of that, what we have learned in studying this is that bumblebees actually perform aerodynamics because of the way they fly and the velocity with which they fly and the ability that they have to fly in there in that greenhouse environment without really disrupting anything. It's all about the aerodynamic of impact that they have that moves the pollen. It's really fascinating stuff, and I'm a big fan of bumblebees anyway, but their ability to sonicate flowers is really their superpower. They don't actually have to move into now the bumblebees at my house are certainly all over those flowers, but they don't have to stay very long. They can then their effects ripple out into the other plants around them. I love that. I think that's great. One of the things that is going on in this crazy world. I had somebody ask me about this, and I don't have a recipe. Does anybody make watermelon rind pickles? I remember them. I remember having them. I've seen them a couple of times, but I haven't eaten any in years, and I honestly did not have a recipe. I presume it's, you know, that's a pretty dense. When you pickle cucumbers or when you pickle onions or things like that, those pieces that you're trying to pickle are pretty absorbive. They take up the vinegars and the other spices and things very quickly. Watermelon pickles, not so much. They're dense. So the question remains, do you do that? Let me know about it. I don't really know what Trey's doing, but I like his choice of soup bowls. That's all I can tell you. Thank you, Trey. Hey now, I told you it was gray out there, and yes, there is rain in the forecast for Zone 8 this afternoon. You know, why not? Let's look at a storm for a moment and be right back.
It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon. You wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
The new Bluebell cookies and cream cheesecake is cheesecake ice cream with chocolate cookie crusted cheesecake pieces and chocolate cream filled cookies. Again, cheesecake ice cream with chocolate cookie crusted cheesecake pieces and chocolate cream filled cookies. Buy two.
The good old days are being made right now.
For Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Instead, breaking up is so hard to do. How many people got that song dedicated to them on the radio, do you suppose? Millions. Millions. I'm not going to say any more about it because, well, they might be watching or listening. But somebody sent me a song this week from way in the Wayback Machine. It was quite a surprise. And no, I'm not going to play it here. Things happen. Life is so crazy. My goodness. For example, we know that algae has no ears and yet it listens to its environment. What? That's right. That's right. Research from the Bigelow Laboratory for Ocean Sciences is letting us know that this crazy bunch of little single-celled algae use chemical cues to really let other algae know when things are too stressed out and they need to find another place to go. It's a matter of how do we get from here to there if we need to get from here to there? If it's too warm where we are, if it's too cold where we are, if it's too this or too that. In the case of our friends in the coral reef fishes, they're trying to find something else to eat, which they haven't found yet. So their numbers are dwindling and it's a problem. But they're going to figure it out, at least in some number, or we will lose that species. The algae, I think, are probably more indomitable. They're not going to be gone. They're going to continue giving beyond plants to understand how these single cells carry the processes out really does give us new information. It's stuff that they did not know before to try and understand how plants and algae developed, you know, because nothing evolves in this world because, unless there's a need for that. Things will fall away, but they don't necessarily change or adapt unless they need to. So this is another one of the adaptations that we didn't know about. We're learning so much about how to do things. I have been talking about needing to dig holes in my yard for 2 months now. It's either too wet, it's too dry, it's too this, it's too that. Well, the plants are now too big in their containers, so it's the hole digging has to begin. And I want to encourage you that if you need to take up, like I do, I need to get some perennials and they're filling the space way too much. I'm not a designer. I'm a plant collector. So as a result, sometimes I put things in a place and they don't really shouldn't have been there because then you can't see something else. And that's a design element that I'm not that good with. But I also don't always expect things to get to be as tall as they do. So I need to move these perennials. This oversaturated wet is the perfect time to do that with a sharpshooter. If you've got some of those things, just, you know, put on your boots and get out there and start digging. I'm going to have to do that. I've also got to do a couple of other things. I'm pruning the hydrangeas. The hydrangeas suffered from really hot days and too much water and different things this year. They've bloomed out and grown, and they're lovely, but they've got really messed up flowers. They're not aging as they usually do because of the changes in the temperature flux that we've been experiencing is what I attribute it to. So I'm going to go ahead and prune them. If you've never pruned French hydrangeas, that's the ones with the big round flower heads, after they bloom in the summer is really the best time to do that, and hopefully you do a little bit of it each year. Either you harvest some flowers or you take off one arm because it shot out too far. What we're trying to do is keep them in a nice mounded shape so then they show off the flowers when they appear next year. What I've realized is that the two little hydrangeas that I have in this space are no longer as little as they need to be in the space. I've already moved Laura Petalum out of this bed because they overgrew. I'm not perfect at things, but I do tend to plant things a little thickly with the notion that I will take them out later because I like them to look full. But I think pruning these hydrangeas is probably going to solve that particular problem. If you are looking in at supertalk.tv right now, you're seeing my kissing watermelons. Yes, that's right. It was a beautiful trailer full of melons and delicious too, by the way. But the arrangement of them to hold the bottom layer, to hold the other layer, to hold the other layer, you know, they all have to kind of go in different directions. And I just really liked the geometry of how they were stacked. Really did a good job too, because there were a whole lot more melons up on the backside of that group that were doing what they needed. I have a picture that I'm holding on to this week. A friend of mine sent to me of volunteer sunflowers. She doesn't have a bird feeder, She's never planted sunflowers. Okay. We always think, oh, well, the sunflower seed just fell out of... Well, no, they didn't. And yet, she's got sunflowers that are quite lovely. It doesn't look quite like gray mammoth, but it's almost that. It's a big, tall one with a big seed head on it. And the question was, how did these get here? Well, there's not really an answer to that, because seeds are pretty tough. Seeds will come in on, maybe even on somebody else's shoe. Some fall out of somebody's pocket that walks by. Sunflowers themselves, of course, are eaten by birds and any number of other creatures if they can reach them. So they move the seeds around that way, and both in feathers and fur and everything else. But how a volunteer plant gets to where it is the same thing as just the question of the magic of our garden practices. We grow things. And when we grow things, we really do have a lot to understand sometimes. For example, this morning I came out, I have Mexican hat growing at my back door. I did not plant it there. I planted it at the foot of my driveway, which is downhill a little bit from this spot. How did they get from there to there? I don't know. But I do like them where they are, and they never did all that well down at the bottom. So somewhere along in there they made some seeds that got moved up to the front. They do have small seeds. They could have been windblown, but the chances are better that they were picked up by something, because they make a cone of seeds. It's a retibida, in case you don't know about that plant. You can look it up. But it's a delightful plant, and one that has that kind of cosmos foliage to it. You know, it's little thin leaves and just makes a nice airy show. I think of it as a good companion to things like guara, which is also kind of loud and blousy like that. But how it got there remains a mystery. I have taken the seeds off as they mature, shared them with other people. They've all had them come up, but I've never actually moved them on the dog's back, for example, from one end of the yard to the other. How do we get our seeds here and there? It's just one of those things that we do. Another thing that we absolutely do, I'm still interested in this. How do we realize what things are going to take? Which ones do we need to help? Which species do we need to just kind of let find their own way or not? And which species do we actually need to help? I saw a nest of what I believe to be fire ants this week that were so tiny it made me nervous, because I know how big they get, you know. And there were just hundreds of these little bitty ones. That's kind of scary. But the fish in the world's warmest waters. New York, this is the whole thing, is this whole question of how this is possibly going to be moving forward. Whether it's warm water, whether it's warm air currents in some cases. And in fact, sometimes sometimes things just change. And you don't know that it was a cause of environment, but you can see that things did change. And so we tend to put those two things together. That's not always smart. For example, you know how much I really appreciate the University of Illinois and their College of Agriculture. This is crazy. If you've ever had bacterial spot on something, and people are seeing it this summer on things like squash and even some melons and things, pumpkins and whatnot, we were taught in school that if the spot on your plant or on your leaf, on the fruit or on the leaf, was soft, like you could put your thumb in it, it's more than likely a bacterial spot. On the other hand, if it's a dry spot, then it's probably fungus. That's not 100% true, but it's a good place to start when you're trying to diagnose something. One of the things that happens with bacterial spot is that it messes up the rind of the pumpkin or the squash. They'll look like it has pimples on it. It looks bumpy, okay? And indeed, that causes stress on the skin. Sometimes that can break, and then the secondary pathogens come in. Well, guess what? This Xanthomonas is so successful that it doesn't need to evolve. Doesn't care about how warm the conditions are. Doesn't care about how long it's been there. Doesn't care about what you're doing, what you're growing, or what you're not growing. It doesn't change. And that's one of the things to study, too. There's so few things that are this stable. It's really a fascinating one. The pathogen, though, is described in the literature now as a one-trick pony, which, of course, is something that means that this is one skill, but they don't have any others. I disagree. Xanthomonas is one of the, it'll rot your fruit. It'll ruin things pretty seriously, pretty quickly. But I understand that the bacteria itself does not change. It's a thing that is absolutely the same. It surges when the conditions are right. You've probably seen, if you've come to my programs about this issue, you have seen the Venn diagram that puts the pathogen and the environment and the conditions, and in the center of it, of course, is the infection. And that's really what we're talking about here. The Xanthomonas is so successful and so good at what it does, it doesn't have to change or adapt. It just keeps growing. And when the conditions are right, it emerges. My goodness, I wish we could do that for a lot of other things. There's other things that would be fun to have that with. This is not one of them. It is National Chicken Finger Day. Still looks like chicken feet to me, but then I'm not, you know.
I can't bring myself to put that one on.
Please don't. We're going to hold on to that. We don't.
I had a great and very intelligent conversation about fried chicken this morning with our guard, who's awesome. And it was very good ranking system on the different fried chicken. And so, I mean, I don't know what all of y'all's fried chicken are out there, but, I mean, I would put churches at the top. And then Popeye's right below that. And then as far as bone-on chicken, you know. So
I was going to say, are we talking sandwiches? Are we talking tenders? What are we talking?
Well, tenders is a whole other ballgame.
And mine are better.
But that's it funny. Was a great start to the day. Got the belly rolling. You know, fried chicken today, maybe.
Might have to. I'm not going to get into the chicken sandwich controversy, but I have serious opinions about it. We'll talk about that some other time. Oh, let's see. I sliced some tomatoes, planted them in the pots, and got young plants. That is true. We were talking about saving tomatoes last week and whether you needed to do the process that involves cleaning the seeds and saving them and sprouting them that way, or whether you could just plant the fruit. If you're trying to grow for this fall, just plant the fruit. But if you're trying to save seed for next year, you will have to go through the bigger, or otherwise you're going to have to nurse tomato plants all the way through the winter, and that's probably, well, they're not exactly good house plants, let's put it that way. But I say that's red in Lumberton. I say that's really good. I like that. Ooh, speaking of chicken, do you want to know this? You may not want to know this. Did you know that hens blush?
I didn't know that.
You don't even have
How do they do that? Is it their snoot?
Their skin. You don't even have to tell an off-color joke, but you could. That probably would upset them as well. They analyzed both the position of facial feathers and the color of the exposed skin in 7 different contexts. Now, what I imagine is that the hens all went, we have to do all this to get fed. Usually they just bring the feed. Why are we having to do all this? But what they did was they did all sorts of things like holding them near the food, letting them get to the food, letting them not get to the food, you know, different contexts, as they say. It varied and consistently varied between the contexts. The fluffed head feathers, and you've all seen chickens do this. If you've ever spent any time around hens, you know that this is true. They were mainly associated with that contentment. They get fluffy. They get comfy. Okay, you've seen that, I hope. But the blushing is not so happy. It's either really excited because we're getting to the food, or kind of fearful because we're not. And I'm telling you that if you gave the chickens a vote, they would say, "Leave us alone and feed us." We don't want all this stuff. But chickens blush. I had no idea. I saw a Facebook post from someone that I actually don't exactly know who indicated that, well, I know her, but I don't know if she knows me. Let's put it that way. It's horticulture people, more famous than me. But she went and bought 3 chickens and felt better, 3 more chickens and felt better. And I thought, I cannot relate to that. I'm not sure what the context would be when buying 3 more chickens would make me feel better. I've always thought I'd like to have chickens, but I'm just not that good.
I like cats, though. So, I mean, I would imagine the cats and the chickens would be a little bit of a Looney Tunes type of Saturday every day.
Yeah, my cats would be standing up and watching real closely, very closely. Some dogs, too, though, but that's another discussion for another day. We don't do those negatory things here. Instead, we talk about plants, we talk about this and that. And at this particular moment, we're just going to ease on out of here, let you go get a cup of coffee and come back. We got a lot to talk about.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Making a lot of work for me, and I like it. This is Scarlet Begonias. It's part of the Riffin' on the Dead music that I use around here that is really one of my very favorite tunes because it's a good tune. However, since it applies to one of my very favorite plants, yeah, I like scarlet begonias. But I also like other begonias. I've been rooting them, and the reason that you root begonias is not just because, well, in my case, I'm going to have them at the plant sale and at the Bottle Tree Garden Tour, I hope, but it's because they're growing sideways or sticking out, or there's some over here that dropped all their leaves except for the top. Begonias, particularly the cane type, wax begonias and the ones that have like angel wing and that sort of stuff, they're so easy to grow. But they will grow in directions you don't really necessarily want them to grow. So that's the time to get in there and take some cuttings. You can root them in water, but you can also root them right directly into potting mix, which is what I did. These are in 2-inch pots for the most part. They've now outgrown those, and I will be moving them up. But if you do this, do it in the shade, do it outdoors, let all the humidity work in your favor, and you're going to find that you end up having plenty of, for example, back-to-school presents for teachers if you want to bring things and you're trying to get a little, you know, leg up on the impression business. Come on, we all know you do that. I come from a family of educators. I know about this. I've done it myself. But if you also are thinking about trying to learn how to grow plants and your friend offers you a cutting, don't turn it down. It's a really good one to start with, wax begonias and also the angel wings. Our friend Peaches, who will be in next week, brought me a whole bunch of red begonias with not much roots to them because he knew that I could root them. He put them in a bucket in my patio, in the catio, and that has actually turned into a whole rooted bag. It's crazy. Now I got to do something with all of those. It's a different thing in altogether. Those are good choices. Thank you very much, sir, Mr. Hot Sauce, Mrs. Hot Sauce. Appreciate you. Ooh, I went down to the front garden yesterday morning, and guess what? The volunteer zinnias are blooming as well or better as the ones that I planted this year. Now, because they were a hybrid, they have a yellow flower. They don't have the pink flowers that they had last year, and they're a little bit differently shaped. But when that seedling came up, I thought, well, maybe this will be something. And sure enough, it's a lovely, lovely shade. Looks really nice. I am going to have to plant some more, though, because I have got some areas that are well, they just, the Sun patients did well in some parts and some other parts they didn't do so well in. So I'm going to fill those spaces in with that little profusion zinnia. And it's a small one. It makes a mound of flowers. I'm going to try that, see if that'll work for you. I hope it'll be there in October. It should be. We will see. We shall see what we shall see. Some more of the fun that was going on at the Watermelon Festival last week. I really love to see a stage set up, and you know that they're going to have some big fancy band at night because, well, it's an attraction. It gets people to come to the festival. It's an important part is the entertainment, the music. But during the day, it's local people singing whatever it is. Some of the things were their own songs. Some of the things were covers of things that you knew. But one of the things that I enjoyed so much was watching other people sing along with the people on stage. I get such a tickle out of that. I think that when we have that sort of shared experience, you may not know all the words, but you know the enthusiasm, you know the song, and it not only makes you feel better, it makes that person performing feel a whole lot better too, because they know somebody's there and listening and really getting into what they're doing. That was fun. Really nice to see. Something else really nice to see, I don't know if you've done this yet or not, any of the swallowtails that we've been seeing at this particular point in the year, it's usually a little bit later on, but the parsley caterpillar did in fact ate the parsley completely, and now the swallowtail has been in my back garden this week, and I was really happy to see that. You don't know for sure because there's more than one, you know, parsley caterpillar in any neighborhood. But I like to think that one came around because that had been its original home. One of the things that tickled me, though, was being able to get up so close and take a picture. Used to have to take a long lens to do that. And, you know, we've all carried those things around, and particularly those of us who are attempting to shoot gardens to document them and also to maybe perhaps write a story about them. But I really was thinking about the Kodak Instamatic. Before that, I had a Brownie camera. It was a pretty complicated thing in regard to, you know, an 8 or 9 year old kid. But the Instamatic was literally point and shoot. That was the first thing that you put in the little cartridge, and it had the film on it, and you literally dropped it off at the drugstore, and they developed them. That was a big change, and that let you. That's how come almost everybody, you know, of a certain generation has boxes and boxes of printed photos. You know, they would give you three for the price of one of the same print. And you couldn't really say no. See, have all these pictures. And some of them are worth scanning and keeping, and some of them are just fun for laughing at. But that Instamatic changed people's perspective about things. It got us to look a little closer or to look a little deeper at things because you could get up, walk up to them, and you didn't have a whole lot of stuff to set up, so you didn't have to be as stable. You could be more mobile in your amateurish, as we all were, photography at that time. I went into the world of SLR and tripods and carrying around too much weight, and that was kind of fun. I've never seen this before. You don't ever come in here.
Yeah, I was just playing around.
That's great. Supertalk.tv. If y'all watch other programs on Supertalk, you've seen Lance before, but you've never seen him here before. He was hiding.
Making a cameo. I was messing around with the V-Mix, you know, putting you yeah, got so I know. Many you're great working, images and
you're working
trying
on
to create some
week.
New settings for us, yeah.
Been sitting in front of an oak tree, now I'm sitting in front of a rose bush.
Oh, yeah, and that's a pretty one, too. I don't know where that picture was taken, but I love the building and the colors and
Isn't
the pink.
Nice?
Oh, it's beautiful.
I shot that yesterday morning at the Renaissance in Ridgeland.
Oh, okay, well, that yeah, mm-hmm. makes sense.
I'm always impressed when there is a rose in a gigantic container. Mm-hmm. And this one is as big as my sofa. I mean, it's a huge container and a huge rose and really, really looked nice. So I thought, well, that one deserves to come along, you know, bring
You've become, I'll give you amazing credit here, street Uh-oh. Cred, because your picture taken. I've seen some amazing ones you've done. And
thank you.
It does take a little practice to get it right. I'm very much impressed with our listeners because they take some great pics.
Thank you for sending us some things.
And I had a great conversation the other day with one of our internals. And I said, yeah, we've accomplished in probably a year the number of photos and images that our listeners have sent. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of blow your mind. Mm-hmm. And how just every season covered and all the plants and the flowers. And it is really cool. And to know that we have such a library of that.
It's really
because
beautiful.
Because of you guys out there and because of the
y'all
garden
are so
mama.
Cool to do that
so
for
thank
us.
Thank you, guys.
We have, you know, we're always talking about these. They go and discover, you know, Grandma's diary where she in 1822 started documenting the property flowers and stuff and when they bloomed and how important those things are to all of us. Well, we've actually got the visual catalog.
Yeah.
And it's thanks to all of y'all. You've been so sweet. I did get to do a lot of photography, but it was not as pretty as this. This is more fun to do.
Yeah, you've got
taking,
it figured
taking
out.
Mugshots. Well, taking mugshots of plants to print online right. is hard. Mm-hmm. But you get to do that. Now I get to do bigger things. Tell you about that tree sometime. Me and Bobby McGee, though, we got to get out of here. See you in a minute.
It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon. You wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
The new Bluebell cookies and cream cheesecake is cheesecake ice cream with chocolate cookie crusted cheesecake pieces and chocolate cream filled cookies. Again, cheesecake ice cream with chocolate cookie crusted cheesecake pieces and chocolate cream filled cookies. Buy two.
The good old days are being made right now.
For Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Now's the time.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
I was tickled to get an email this week. They said that they missed me being in the studio. They wish they could have been at the Watermelon Festival. And what is a maven? This was a great
that's
email.
An expert. A maven is an expert.
I certainly don't think I'm an expert at anything, but the idea is that this is the woman who has more knowledge in her pocket than you do. And at this particular point in time, that probably does apply to me, just because I don't know a lot about a lot of stuff, but I know a lot about plants.
Well, this week there was I had a story about the Pied Piper. And
ooh.
And then obviously you have all the rats in France. So it was a very interesting kind of story that comes together.
They actually had the rats, you know, in the opening ceremonies last night.
I've been reading about it.
Well, I mean, Le Mis, if you'd understand that, anyway.
And then obviously, you know, you have over in Arkansas, you have the calling of the hogs, the suey, mm-hmm, suey. Mm-hmm. I want our opening jingle to become like the call for gardeners all over the world when they hear those wind chimes.
I hope so.
They go, oh my goodness, it's gardening time.
I hope so.
That's what I want. So,
And that's what we're working on.
We can dream.
we can dream. Our impact may not be as great as we hope, but on the other hand, you don't ever know. The things that go viral are a mystery to me. I'll admit that without even making any specific references. Thanks to all of y'all for deciding that you wanted to put Garden Mama in your ear today. I know you have lots and lots of choices. We are hopefully the best thing around. But, you know, if you don't think you're the best thing around, what are you doing? I mean, come on, whatever it is that you do, you should be the best at it that you can imagine or find. I haven't had a big chainsaw in a very long time. And this is the first time I've needed one in a while. Ooh, this week, big branch fell down smack right there at the spot where the area next to my house kind of gives up to the big spot behind it, the big space behind it, which is, of course, where we turn vehicles around and park things and do all sorts of stuff. Well, it was big. It wasn't the whole tree. The whole tree is dead, but the whole tree didn't come down. Fascinating part to me is that when it's chopped up, and this is the truth, y'all, please, if you can possibly pay attention to your trees, take pictures of them this summer so that next summer you can take another picture and you can see whether or not they're in good health, that things have changed or things have not changed. This is a tree that has literally been there since I've been there, 25-something years. And it died between the drought and between the heat, the drought. I don't know what killed it, but it has never put out a leaf this year. And this huge limb dropped in the storm the other day. There are a few leaves on it, but not much. And it is absolutely barren in the middle. When you cut through the trunk, the trunk's probably of this particular limb was about 12 inches across, maybe more. But there was no more than 4 inches of actual tree. The rest of it's a big hole in the middle of it. You would be surprised at how these things form over time. I say this to you because many of us want to plant trees, and we should, but we need to take special care of them the first 2 years they're in the ground, because that's the point where they're getting adapted. For example, if you were not getting enough rainfall, you would find that the tree would become shallow-rooted. That's why when you see an oak tree that is, 40 feet tall, and it falls over, and there's maybe 10 feet of roots underneath it, probably less than that sometimes, that's because it didn't get its roots deep enough. Now, they do tend to be wide-rooted, but they also need to have some that go deep in order to hold the tree and give it stability. So take my cue and watch out for your trees. Take pictures of them this summer, and then next summer you will be able to take another picture and say, well, this one looks good, this one doesn't look so good. Sometimes people will say to do that in the winter, and that's probably not a bad idea because there's less distraction in the photograph of it. And particularly structurally, if it's a deciduous tree, you can see how the branches are doing. So that's not a bad idea either. I've been putting more yellow into my summer color scheme. You know, I like orange, I like yellow, but I've never had that much going on. I've got three different cannas now that are yellow, and I'm fascinated by the fact that I've done that. What color have you found yourself using? This is great. Kenneth in Starkville grew up eating watermelon rind preserves on warm buttered biscuits. It's another, we're looking at the lake. we're sitting in the Adirondack chairs. Could we just stay there? Would it be okay if we just, like, you know, sat there all day today? That'd be nice. That's really pretty, especially with some watermelon pickles and, of course, warm buttered biscuits. Here's another question for y'all. Self-rising flour or plain flour when you make your biscuits? Talk amongst yourselves. I know it's a controversial topic. You're laughing. It is. It really is.
I have a friend that has a biscuit business, he and his wife, and they're excellent. And I've never been great, like, making dough and all that stuff. So I just throw the frozen ones in there. I'm not very good at, you know, cooking and from scratch.
You like Miss B's that come in.
Yeah, those things are fine. Yeah, they just throw. Yeah, the easiest way possible to consume a biscuit. I'm in.
Yeah, I failed my grandmother in a few ways. One of them is that my biscuits will never be as good as hers. There are a few others as well, tattoos and whatnot. But anyway, the question is always, what works? And I have seen biscuits made with self-rising flour that were lovely. I've seen them made with plain flour that were lovely. I've seen them made with cake flour that weren't bad, even though that's not something you associate with a biscuit. But anyway, Paula from Dentville, hello. That really is lovely. That thing, you repotted that, and it is just beautiful. We've been looking at all the various and sundry succulent leafed plants. Some of them are doing great. guess what? The ones that are in the containers are doing better. My autumn joy sedum, with all the rain that has happened this year, is twice as big as it should be, and the flowers are half as the size, and it's kind of fallen. I mean, it's still lovely, but it's just different. Doesn't look like I need them to be. Red says he's a self-rising guy, but he's always had a little bit of lazy in me. Now, see, that's what some people will say. Other people will say that you actually know what you're doing when you use self-rising, because, since I had this argument with someone this week, because the stuff's already in it. You don't have to keep the thing of baking powder and the thing of baking soda and the cream of tartar and all those other things that might go in there that I think it's even got salt in it. But anyway, I don't know. They all work, and frankly, with Mahaw jelly, I'm pretty good with all of it. Yes, I still want to sponsor a biscuit contest. Can you tell?
I'm in. I mean, like fried chicken contest.
fried chicken biscuits.
Yeah, yeah,
come on.
I'm in. I want the catfish biscuit. Nobody.
Ooh, fun.
I'm a big. Yeah, I want to see whoever can pull that off. Like a nice little thin, crispy piece of catfish on a biscuit.
I like it. I like
maybe
it.
A little honey.
Come on,
and
y'all.
Some pepper jelly or something.
All right, now. I think we're onto something here, y'all. We always have talked about on this program that if we just had a breakfast sponsor, now we're back to that again.
Yeah, come on. We'll definitely do you right promoting you. I promise. I'll put pictures up of your breakfast and everything.
You see, it'll be fun. Everybody will know. It'll be wonderful. Anytime you say tattoo, somebody has to weigh in. So, care to share details?
Fantasy Island tattoo?
No.
I liked him.
I would like very much for you to imagine whatever you'd like to imagine. I'll give you that.
I love the James Bond with tattoo in it. You know, he was with the man with the golden gun.
Yes. I'll just say Lyle Tuttle, and that ought to, if you know tattoos, that will answer you. Anyway, now Paula's bringing up the dumplings. See, here we go again. Dumplings with self-rising flour. I have heard of that. I've never tried that one. I might have to try that. I failed my grandmother at that too. My dumplings are nowhere near what hers were. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, on the other hand, I can bake a bundt cake with a drop of a hat that will please anybody.
Nothing bundt cakes. Those things are awesome too.
I'm amazed I didn't think to turn that into a business, because they are my favorite little cakes.
Wasn't it the birthday that we went to not long ago?
Yes,
they had that cream cheese.
They did.
Oh,
that was great.
Goodness.
So much
I ate
fun.
My weight in that stuff. I was almost embarrassed.
Well, they were not. They were happy for you to
be
there.
They were like, keep eating it. But golly, that stuff was so good.
It was good. And it literally made you want to go eat more of it. That's true. I think when they put the stuff in it that makes you want to eat more of it,
it's
always dangerous.
Yeah, it motivated me.
Oh, how beautiful. Thank you, Trey Anthophiles. That's exactly right. People who
there we go with some good looking
see
biscuits.
Now there's some good looking biscuits.
Yeah, everybody's
Trey,
waking
you're on,
up
you're
now.
On top of it today, Trey. Put those chicken fingers in the biscuits and we've got a competition
there
going
go.
Here.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know it's true. Oh dear, garlic cheddar biscuits, those are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Ocean Springs.
Yeah, these are, you know, I did stop and get some breakfast on the way, and thank goodness y'all had.
Because you're in trouble.
Thank goodness, yeah.
You'll be here a while.
And start gnawing on my arm.
I'll be going looking for a breakfast date here in about another 45 minutes. Let's see. I know where I'm going. All right, now, we talk about all of these fun things because we really do believe around here. I promote, and luckily people don't disagree with me too much, that gardening is one of the best things in the world you can do for yourself. Probably, to be a little less serious, biscuits are a good thing too. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not growing something, it might be that you're taking care of air plants that grow without any dirt at all in a bookshelf. That's fine. It's a living thing. It will change a little bit over time, might even bloom. You'll get a chance to see some different sorts of structures form on it. I have very, very little soil in the bromeliads that grow into the glass hanging structure that I'm so lucky to have from our friends at the Funny Farm, bromeliads, and that they change their color. I don't have to do anything to them but spray some water on them, spray a little fertilizer on them every now and then, and they just continually put on a show. You don't have to do a whole lot. You don't have to be me and my basket of, you know, begonia cuttings or the holes I need to dig and all that. I realize sometimes I make it sound like it's a lot of work. It can be a lot of work, but everything's a lot of work unless you love it. And just, you know, getting up in the morning is a lot of work unless you have something to do and you have a reason to be doing that. They talk about the goodness of cats and dogs because that is part of what gets you up in the morning, makes you go take care of stuff. Now, that's not to say, you know, Lance's puppy, on the other hand, takes care of a lot of things. That was a beautiful picture, by the way, of the two of them. That was very sweet.
He was up but bright and early this morning.
He's gotten huge. I mean, he's got to be able to drive your truck by now.
Almost. You know? Like I say, he's lip, bone, and muscle. That's 100% of him. Man, he is a dude, too. I wanted to bring him today, but he was really excited to see Garden Mama today. So I said, we might not be able to get a show done.
He might be sitting up here on this desk.
Going,
that's right.
Talking
that's right.
to us the whole time. So.
Fun stuff. The answer, Paula, is yes to your question, and it looks lovely. And yes, it is shimmering because it's a video.
yes, it is. I took a little shorty there. It was like 4 seconds.
It's really pretty.
Testing out what we were going to do for the setup.
Mm-hmm,
seeing
mm-hmm.
about him. He has such pretty plants all around the yard.
Yes. I
mean, it's just a little enclave here and an enclave there and plants here and then tomatoes all over there. And really
all those
impressive.
Tomatoes.
Yes.
It's fun to me to visit somebody else's garden because I don't have to do all the work that they're having to do. This one's a lot of maintenance, but there's a good reason for that. It's absolutely beautiful. Just gorgeous. I was thinking about the encounters. There was music. There was cooking. There was people in the pool. There were all these things going on. And so you find yourself in that circumstance, don't you? Somebody's talking to you, and you find yourself using your hands even more than you ordinarily do to make a point. You know, say, oh, look over there, or here's what I was saying, or any of those sorts of things. If you're watching me, you can see me gesturing. Guess what? We have now codified. Everybody knew they've seen chimpanzees gesture back and forth forever because they're very expressive creatures. But what we have now seen is that we are now able to communicate back and forth, and we can understand and replicate their gestures. We are beginning to speak chimpanzee. If you have seen any of the videos, there were a couple of them this week, if you happen to be on social media, and I hope you'll follow me at Garden Mama Nelly. There are pictures of little bitty babies, teeny weeny little babies, like, you know, 10 months, 11 months, who are, because their families are deaf, they are able to sign in the same way. But it's gibberish, just like babies gibberish with vocalizations. But in this case, it's actually with sign language. You can see the pieces of it, but it's not complete sentences in the same way that a 10-month-old would not speak complete sentences, but would certainly vocalize. I'm fascinated by this because the chimpanzee, if we can learn to speak chimpanzees, if we can learn to do American Sign Language, why can't we learn to speak chimpanzee?
Well, they have that baby one.
I'm for it.
The one they came out with. They've done the research and maybe a while out, but single phrase recognition of
Cocoa.
Babies,
from
babies
the gorilla.
Emotions.
Yeah, and the baby's emotions are there, too. Now, we're back to the emotions again. Inside Out, I thought this was, for me, this was some of the most interesting part of Inside Out. The early childhood, when she's younger, the first movie, joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. Because let's face it, every kid has disgust down, whatever it is they're doing. But the emotions that are added in at the basically middle school age character that she is now are so much harder to grapple with, I think. Anxiety, envy, embarrassment, and oh my goodness, the worst of all, ennui, where you just... ennui, if you don't happen to know that word, it means the borderline hopelessness that we get at a certain point in our lives. We're no longer the happiest child on the block. You've seen this happen. It's the age of the side hug, you know, those kind of things that we look at as the kids get older. We've all done that. I love that. We're now going to put the party, we're going to have the competition for the biscuits at the pool. Hold on.
I'm in. I think we would have that invitation open, I believe.
That's I think good. We could
They'd
do that.
They would enjoy that.
I think we could do that. Let's work on that one. All right, now, good morning to my dear friends. You know who you are. This is Tupelo Honey.
Drop it smack dab in the middle of the deep blue sea because... Yes, you are. She's an angel of the first degree.
She's an angel.
Oh, she's the sweetest Tupelo honey. Such light honey, baby, from the bee.
She's an angel.
Oh, she's sweetest Tupelo honey.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hello, Mississippi sports fans. I'm Michael Groves, the voice of the Delta State Statesman. I invite you to join DSU Athletics for a night of champions featuring Mississippi legend Archie Manning with Langston Rogers. This inaugural event will be held on our campus in Cleveland on Thursday, August 1st at 7 p.m. Archie and Langston will discuss a life of football and family. For information, tickets, and sponsorship opportunities, visit GoStatesman.com. I hope to see you.
For those of you who like old music the way I do, please don't overlook YouTube. They don't pay me to say this to you, but I have been lost in the depths, darkness, and far out places of YouTube for a week now, and it's been really fun. I listen to YouTube music on YouTube anyway, but I got started looking for some particular thing, and my goodness, the amount of choices is just, it's a whole lot more fun. It's even more fun than a thesaurus. And I really like thesaurus. You ever read a thesaurus? I hope you did.
I use YouTube going out of style, basically. It's almost like I feel like it's not going to be there tomorrow, so I have to get as much YouTube as I possibly can. And I'll watch anything. That's the funny thing. It's, you know, your curiosity. I don't know if you're like me, but once you go down a rabbit hole of something, you may be, you know, 10 degrees, 20 degrees from where you started
you
in a minute.
You have no idea, but it's even better.
Yeah, you're like, well, how did
and
I get here?
And you learn something, but then you can't remember where you were when you started.
Oh, no. Yeah, I have to, like, when I start, I will go save two favorites. Because
see,
I know within a
you're
minute.
You're so organized. The rest of us are just out here floating, you know?
I'm in French Polynesia in about 30
right,
seconds, and
right.
I started over here going, how to fix a bike.
Start with Tab Benoit, and the next thing you know, you're studying ancient history. It's just crazy. It's fun stuff. This is really good. Rhett's got the same problem I've got. I have some succulents that have this. He takes care of the plants at the shop, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Is it normal for the older leaves to die off on succulents? Yes, they will. They will shed some. As long as they're actually drying that leaf off, it's not a problem. You may find that you want to put a little mulch under there. You may find that you've got a need for some fertilizer or something. If this other thing over here doesn't continue to bloom, you would want to add some fertilizer. But it's it's not an uncommon thing. I've got a couple of pots with yellow leaves in them right now. And you go and take them off, but the next one's going to just, you will always have one that is aging out. And unless you're trying to force push growth, you probably don't care. It doesn't matter. And I can't believe you know Wayne Toups. That's really fun. I'll play that for Lance later. That's fun. Really interesting from Elise. This is a good one. Dinner plate hibiscus from seed. Oh, my goodness. One of the things that we're always concerned about is what happens after the deer. The deer ate the old-timey dinner plate hibiscus. My husband rescued a couple of dried buds with seeds in them. Can these seeds be planted? If so, when and how? Yes. The best way to approach this is to go ahead and plant them into a small container and keep them where it's nice and warm outside. That's why you plant these in the summer. They would fall off the plant and attempt to germinate. If they had good enough soil, they could. And because you're going to give them that in a container, I think you'll have good success with these. But I also sent her an article on I don't subscribe to MasterClass, but oftentimes when you search up something, you'll end up with a video or with a treatise, in this case, about growing hibiscus from seed that's from that. And it's a really, I thought it was interesting that people don't always know that the many different kinds of hibiscus that there are, and we think we're going to grow them all the same. They don't actually grow the same. Tropical hibiscus, of course, is one thing. Shiny leaves, big flowers, full bloom in the summertime. Kind of a lousy houseplant, but too tender to stay outdoors anywhere except 9B and 10 in terms of zones. The hardy hibiscus, which is where the dinner plate falls in, is a delightful plant. There's a whole bunch of them. They're sometimes called rose mallow. It's a cold hardy plant. It's a wetland plant. So the understanding, of course, is that this isn't going to be the thing that you put in the driest bed in your garden. You're going to put it somewhere that's going to get plenty of water and may even be semi-shaded. You don't want them to have much shade because they get kind of leggy if you leave them in. But a little bit of shade in the late afternoon doesn't hurt. Flowers 4 inches to as big as your dinner plates or bigger. Sometimes they're as big as platters. And the third one, of course, is our friend the Rose of Sharon. The Althea is what the other thing that we call that one. And all of the hibiscus that we grow fit into one of these three groups. So if you're interested, check out the MasterClass article on growing hibiscus from seed. You will like that. Interestingly enough, I know that I've grown some hibiscus from seed, but I did have better success with cutting, so I hope this is going to work. Harder to do the hardy ones from cuttings. So it might be root cuttings, it might be seeds. Either one of those is going to be a little easier for you. If you are with us at supertalk.tv, or if you follow me on social media, you have seen the bat-faced kufia. Lovely flower. I do love bat-faced kufias. I think there's just something so charming about the idea that it looks like there's a bat in front of you when it's actually a flower. But I'm fascinated by the plant. It is one of the ones that's really easy to grow, but because it tends to trail, you're going to be better off with it in a bed that maybe falls over a ledge of some sort, or in a container where it can spill out. It's not entirely a hanging basket plant, but it does do better where it has a little room to spread out from the container that it's in without falling onto some kind of, you know, wet soil. You don't want it to lay there because it won't stay that way. Interestingly enough. I have my bromeliad on the porch. It is sad. No, it looks great, actually. Should I put it in more sun? Not necessarily. I think in this case, morning sun is okay. But if you can't provide that, then all day sort of filtered light is better than any afternoon sun in this case, because this one does look like it's been through a little bit of a challenge. I would fertilize it. I think you need to give it some flower food, and that's an instinct that I have. It does take a while for bromeliads to flower, but in this case, I think you have enough leaf material. I think you just need to push the other elements that will let it bloom. I think that's really good. The bat-faced kufia is one of those plants that people look at and they don't know why they like it, and then you get used to it and you start looking at them. There's several different kinds, and some of them, they're actually related also to the ones that will be called goldfish plant, because the flowers, instead of looking like bat faces, will be just a little orange blob with sort of a little kissy face on it. If you squint, it looks a little goldfishy. Those are plants that do make really good house plants over the winter. So don't hesitate to get yourself a basket of bat face kufia and just keep that going. That's lovely. That's really pretty. I can see in this container, Paula, that you've got sun patients, you've got creeping Jenny, and it looks like begonia at the bottom. That's really nice. Really pretty. Y'all send the nicest things. Thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. There's Not that you can't really listen to flowers, okay? I realize we talk about that. We talk about sensory gardens, and it's usually smells and taste and touch. It's not generally speaking listening to the hearts, as they say. But guess what? Our friends from the Max Planck Institute, oh my goodness, they're always up to something. And in this case, they're listening to the hearts of bats in flight. Think about that. Do you have any idea how hard that would be to do? For heaven's sake. You can't just record them and then pull all the strands out. You actually have to be there to record it, and they're flying. What are you going to do? Well, researchers from Konstanz have measured the heart rate of bats over several days in the wild. They didn't just put all the bats in a, you know, in a studio somewhere and tell them to start flying around. They went to where the bats live. And in this case, this is the first time that we have done this for a bat species. They've recorded other things, but this is the first time that they've done this. These are noctule bats, of course. This is the first problem is getting the heart rate transmitters onto the bats. Wonder how many interns it takes to get that project done, or if there's just one professor who really enjoys doing it and the bats know that it's okay, so they just wait for him. I don't know. But at any rate, publishing in the Proceedings of the Royal Society B, showing us how much energy bats consume over the course of the day and how they save a little bit so that they don't just burn out when they're flying, because, you know, they go a long way. They attached heart rate transmitters. By the way, speaking of crazy things, they can now put a heart rate transmitter on a bat that weighs less than a gram. That's crazy. That's technology. You can't even see that. You know, that's such a small thing. But to be able to do that is so delightful and so marvelous because it teaches us so much. The Max Planck Institute of Animal Behavior and the University of Konstanz use this particular method. These bats are all over Europe. This is one of the most common species there. So they live where people live a lot of the time. So the, both of these things can be interesting. They wanted to try and understand how it changes through the year. Again, it's a matter of adaptation. It's kind of been the theme today, how plants, how animals, how environments can be adapted to them. What they discovered was that they don't have a clear answer, but in fact, the heart rate goes up from 6 beats per minute to 900 in 3-4 minutes at the most, 3 minutes when they fly. That's astounding. Do you realize if they can get the technology, get the understanding of how to do that, we can duplicate it with technology, we can fix a lot of things. That's just a wonderful, wonderful study. I'm always fascinated. I don't know anybody at Max Planck, probably won't, but I really always appreciate their work because it brings us things that we didn't know. I, first of all, did not know what the most common bat was in Europe. Okay, now we know that, but the idea that it can go from that rate of speed, that is an acceleration rate that very, 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 very few things, much less living things, have. Just fascinating. Okie dokie, befores and afters, oh goodness. We love these bats. That's really, oh good, I picked out the right plants. I always like when I get that right. I called their names and they were the right ones. Good for me. All right. You've hit another nerve with me, Rhett. Says you may not be able to hear the flowers. Actually you can, but you may not be able to hear the flowers. But on a quiet Alabama summer night, I swear you can hear the kudzu growing. Yeah, and they do make jelly out of that, flowering kudzu. There's a lot of things you can do with kudzu. Make beautiful wreaths, too. But I had a relative who was one of my very favorites, didn't look like a farmer at all. He was, in fact, he owned a haberdashery. And he appreciated more than anything else a fresh ear of corn. So he grew corn. And he told us, and we went out and experienced it with him, if you get real quiet, you can hear the corn growing at night. And sure enough, because of the way the cells expand and the crackling and the rustling, if it's quiet enough, you don't hear anything else but the corn. Have a feeling the kudzu will do the same thing. The corn will not, however, reach out and grab you around the ankle. The kudzu, on the other hand, don't get too close. I know that that was imported as a control for erosion, and it certainly does that. But we didn't really manage it that well. as an area where it grew and grew and grew and grew, we should be processing kudzu into thousands of things as a major industry, I think. But at any rate, it's a very fascinating plant. And yes, you can hear it grow, certainly, just like corn. That's fun. I have, seeing it growing, how do you get the energy to grow? Well, you got to get some of it from somewhere. Maybe solar is part of the answer. If you're listening for the first time today, you may not recognize that I think we ought to exploit every kind of energy source because, quite frankly, the one that wins the competition and pays off the best and does the least harm, that's the one that's going to triumph. So try them all. And in this case, solar panel, and biorefining, folks, have got a whole new thing. I have never experienced the company of an iridescent giant clam. However, I have seen them on a video, and they are beautiful. But near the reefs, back there where the fish are not finding anything to eat, they're not eating these clams either. But the giant clams have really serious geometry, dynamic vertical columns in their shells, and they are big enough to have photosynthetic receptors there. How crazy is that? Well, it makes perfectly good sense, and it's absolutely wonderful. They may be, they have a thin, light-scattering layer. Does it sound like solar cells to you? Yes, it does. They may be the most efficient solar system, solar energy system that we have. We got to study more. Everything on this earth has a purpose. Everything on this earth has a serious, serious superpower that we don't know about yet. You know that's true. William, I think you're looking at a hibiscus that we call Texas Star. All right, now, let's let Bonnie take us out of here because we're going to come back into a little bit more talking, take those last flurry of texts that always come in at the end of the show, and have a really nice morning here on the Garden Mama Show.
Official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. You may be able to save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out.
Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
The doctor's office that
wet day, she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine.
Can you imagine? Next week we'll be here, and it will be August. Good grief. Peaches will be in with us. That's going to be fun. get you some new stuff to look at, some new ideas and things from his design mind, because as we all know, I have a plant collection. There's no design going on at my place. I don't know what time you get off work today, Mr. Lance, but today is not only Bagpipe Appreciation Day, it is National Scotch Day, and I really think we have to observe this. We know people with bagpipes. We know people with scotch. We should be able to put them together in some fashion this afternoon. I don't know. We got to figure this out.
And there's
got to
be a kilt involved somewhere.
Well, you know there is.
Cool socks and
very cool socks. Very cool socks.
Scotch. I don't know about you, but I like. I'm a Highlands guy. If I'm gonna drink scotch,
that's all
I can't
right.
get down to the Isley.
No. I'm going there. I'm going there. The more expensive the single malt, the better I like it.
Yeah. Balvenie's.
I'm not fun to be with in that case.
I grew up in. My mother's side of the family were they liked scotch, you know, scotch and water. Mm-hmm. And I was messing with my dad the other day about scotch, and he said, "Man, I said, did you ever really get to where you could drink it?" He goes, "Oh my God!" He said, "Mr. Fagan, and you know, and everybody
all
on that side,
relatives.
I tried, I just couldn't do it, man. I never could." And I had a client of mine that actually kind of taught me how to, you know, appreciate scotch, and
yes.
it took a little while.
It's an art.
It is definitely an acquired taste.
The woman who taught me about it was 85 years old at the time. Okay,
she was not.
I was very young, but she was a pro. It's also part one of those things that is I don't know. It's just funny. You can't be too impressed, but you can be impressed by somebody that knows how to go about in society and keep their head, despite having a very good time. She inspired me a lot. Really fun things around here. We're looking at, this is really funny, Texas Star or Scarlet Rose Mallow is the other name. This is another of the Hardy Hibiscus. It's a really pretty one. Hibiscus cochinus, that I got that for, sent that to William so he would know. The tropical plants, it's not tropical. The tropical plants, as we've been talking about today, there's things that are having to adapt, things that are having to adjust. And in this particular case, why wouldn't we take the grant to go study plant species in the tropical mountain ranges? I mean, come on, you know you want to go. Brown University. It's cold at Brown University in the winter. Let's go to the tropics. I think that'd be a great idea. So, anyway, excuse me, they did that the warmer and drier the climate gets, the two things together are the things that are really constrictive to many of the tropical species. That's probably why we're starting to see a change in the weeds in our gardens. People are sending me different plants than I have seen previously, and some that have come back around again. So it's an interesting thing to watch. But now that we've established with this research that, in fact, the two things have to work together to make it a more of a compromise for the plant, we understand that warmer and drier. So if we end up with 100-degree days and 90-degree nights, which, you know, it's just now August. I can't rule it out. On the other hand, if we come up to this both warmer and drier situation, if it's lots of storms and hot, maybe not such a problem. On the other hand, if it's hot and dry, we'll have a bigger problem. And that, of course, is why irrigation was invented. No question. Let's see. Fig Newtons. Oh, now we're getting menus, y'all. Desmond and Duff scotch with Fig Newtons. It's a fascinating. I'm not recommending it because I've never had that particular combination.
Scotch and Fig Newtons, huh?
But there's something, okay. There's a thought there. There's
that
definitely
sounds,
a thought
there.
That
sounds very
there.
English or UK. You got the fruit and the
bread. I feel like I've gone
to
Wales, you know. I don't know.
The bread, the fruit, and the scotch. You've hit all of the major groups today.
That's really wonderful. Cucumber crops. This is, can I plant squash and zucchini? Yes, you can do that in Newton County right now. It's time. It's time to start again. Let's go. I'm thinking about planting some beans. I've got a tripod set up that had something else on it, and it's gone now. So I'm thinking about maybe just planting a climbing bean. I think there's probably some seeds in my closet. I got to go look for those and find them. Oh, you know, we always try to get people not to throw their trash out their car. Okay. Soda cans drive me crazy. I recognize that they're worth money. Why do you throw them out? I don't know, but people do. Now they're going to be worth more. Soda cans, seawater, And yes, used coffee grounds, my friends. These are the three components from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. We are now developing a fast, sustainable method to produce hydrogen fuel using soda cans, seawater, and caffeine. It goes even faster if you put caffeine in it. That sounds too logical to make any sense at all. But in fact, this is great. It will not generate carbon emissions because it doesn't have carbon emissions to generate. And this is something that could make a big difference for all of us. If we could get, again, try everything. You know, if the hydrogen cells went out, we certainly do drink enough soda to provide enough cans to take care of that. A little seawater, some caffeine, and we are there. That's fascinating to me. I love that. Really interesting to me. There's so many things that we all want to do in our gardens. And at this particular point in time, I'm going to give you two pieces of advice. Pull the weeds and refresh the mulch. You may find that the mulch, if it's an organic bark or something, has begun to degrade. You don't want to encourage more weeds in August. So work that in a little bit. Put on some more fresh mulch on top of it. If you've got weeds and they are intractable, consider a garden made, not the kind for any other use, but there are propane torches that work very well in your garden. Take a look at them. I don't usually recommend using them in the summer because the heat element is terrible. But we've had enough rain and we have enough temperatures that are not 1,000 degrees right now that might work for some folks. I did not know this. It makes a lot of sense, though. If you ever needed to be able to tell a male dragonfish from a female one, guess what? The males are not only brighter in color, but their eyes get bigger as they search through the entirely dark world. They're all bioluminescent. But the females that apparently are the healthiest do not glow as much as any of the males or as the other females. So that's the ones they're looking for. And as a result, the dragonfish eyes actually do get bigger. So when you see that happen in the cartoons, it's not a joke. That actually happens. I'm amazed. I had no idea. They said it's really beautiful, but we couldn't see all of this, of course, until we were able to visit the darkest depths of the ocean and see how these creatures live. Finally today, I'm going to leave you with this one from the University of Virginia School of Engineering and Applied Science. Researchers are sharpening machine vision by mimicking nature. Well, we know they mimic nature for all sorts of things. A praying mantis's view overlaps. They not only have multiple eyes, but so they can see in 3D. Okay, the left and right eye functions cross each other like ours do, which is unusual in an insect. As a result, if we can do this, this will help the machine see better. Maybe those driverless cars won't have such a flat perspective. They could have a 3D thing. The best part of this, though, I got to tell you, is the headline of the story. It's got praying mantis eyes. Now, sing along. You all know this one. I think this is such a great way to look at things. If we find a difference in a creature, why not exploit it? Why not put it into the next piece of the technology that we're trying to do so we can continue to adapt, live longer, live better, and garden with greater success? We'll be back next week. Talk about it then.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon. You wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
The new Bluebell cookies and cream cheesecake is cheesecake ice cream with chocolate cookie crusted cheesecake pieces and chocolate cream filled cookies. Again, cheesecake ice cream with chocolate cookie crusted cheesecake pieces and chocolate cream filled cookies. Buy two.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look
for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.